Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher, Richard Pfeiffer, and Andrew Farley, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. If you have a Bible question or an issue you'd like to discuss, we invite you to call right now. The toll-free number, 844-322-2742. The lines are wide open right now. Again, that number, 844-322-2742. We are live on the air and online, so you can get an immediate answer to your question or discuss the issues that are important in your life right now. So we've opened up those phone lines, and again, the toll-free number is 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We talked yesterday about freedom. You shall know the truth. The truth will set you free. And then we tied that to Romans 12:2. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. And Andrew, talk to us a little bit today about how important this renewing of the mind process is as far as us experiencing the freedom that Christ has provided for us through his death, burial, and resurrection.
Well, I mean, it's the one thing that we can wake up every day and really look forward to, Bob. What we look forward to is thinking differently, watching as our attitudes are transformed. I mean, when you think about it, some other things, they've already taken place. I mean, we've got our forgiveness. We're forgiven people. We've got our acceptance. We've got a new destination that we look forward to. All of that is rock solid. It's set. It's a finished work. But this one thing that we can wake up and really look forward to and sink our teeth into and relish and celebrate is the fact that my mindsets are under construction. And that's a good thing because, you know, even though I don't think perfectly and I don't act perfectly, God's perfectly accepted me and perfectly loved me. And so I can enjoy the journey and, the pressure is off. I can just enjoy the journey of asking Jesus Christ, who lives in me, to begin to change the way that I think and I act and really change what I believe, because that's what we're talking about. At the core of this renewing of the mind, we begin to change our belief systems about God, about ourselves, and, you know, very importantly, about the behaviors that make sense now. I mean, everything else, but, you know, everything else is just silly when you look at the opportunity that we have to express Christ. Everything else just seems trivial. It seems dumb. It's a waste of time walking after the flesh. And so when we get our minds renewed, we get a new attitude about God, about ourselves, and about the behavior issue as well.
Great stuff, Andrew. Thanks for kicking off this broadcast with some very interesting comments. Friends, if you'd like to join the conversation, call right now. The lines are wide open at 844-322-2742. Again, that's a toll-free call in the U.S. and in Canada. 844-322-2742. Give us a call.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're going to start in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and talk with Craig, listening to us on the Internet. Hi, Craig. Welcome to Basic Gospel.
Hi, Bob. Thank you. Hey, I have a question concerning false teachers, and I'm looking at Matthew 7:15 through about 20 or 21. And first off, when I speak with a lot of Christians, they'll say, first of all, that they're trying to produce fruit, and I say, well, you can't produce it; you bear it. Yeah, it's just a matter of, you know, words, semantics. And they don't understand that difference. It seems to me that that's essential. But John, let's see, 13:35, where Jesus said, "By this you will know, or by this all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one for another." A lot of the people I hear speaking and talk with also want to use Matthew 7:15 as, I'm trying to find it here. Matthew 7:16, you will know them by their fruits, not realizing that he's in a context, if I'm correct, of false prophets. Mm-hmm. Is that how you understand it?
Yeah, absolutely, Craig. This is Andrew speaking. You know, I think that you've hit the nail on the head, because he says, beware of false prophets. Then as you go down and look at verse 21 and 22, 23, I mean, you've got this issue of, Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name, cast out demons in your name, perform miracles in your name? So you can see where the focus is here. Lord, Lord, look at what we've done for you, instead of, Lord, thank you for what you've done for us. And so if you were to even identify the marks of these false prophets, number one, they seem to be glorifying prophecy. Number two, they seem to be glorifying miracles. And number three, they seem to be glorifying the casting out of demons all the time. And then he says, you'll know them by their fruits. Well, what fruits? The fruits we just mentioned. They're making a big deal out of what they are doing, instead of making a big deal out of what Jesus Christ has done.
Well, amen. That's what I'm seeing more so as well. If ever, I don't think I've ever heard, and I could be wrong, they may drop a word or two, but you never hear the true gospel from their lips. They never speak necessarily about Jesus. They talk about the Holy Spirit all the time. Is that how you would see it as well?
Yeah, I mean, they're going to have to be doing these things in some name, and apparently they're doing it in his name. Didn't we do these things in your name? So they're using the name of Christ, but look again where their focus is. You know, someone who's truly preaching the gospel, their lives and their teaching are going to be marked by freedom and joy. And someone who's a false teacher like this is basically going to be saying, you need to be like me. You need to be doing miracles that I'm doing. You need to be doing healings that I'm doing. You need to be doing prophesying like I'm doing. And if you don't have these gifts or doing these things that I'm doing, then you're not okay, and I'm superior to you. And so all of that is just a fine-sounding spiritual distraction from the simple fact that Jesus Christ is our focus, and he took our sins away, and his resurrection means new life, and that's what we need to be talking about.
Yeah, Andrew, it really, and Craig, it kind of gets down to a source issue, doesn't it? What's the source of these works? So on one hand, there's the world, the flesh, and the devil, and these prophets would be tied to that, the world, the flesh, and the devil. And so that's the source of those works, and so the fruit of that you're going to recognize. And then the source of the fruit of the Spirit is Jesus Christ himself. So when that evidence of love pours out of our lives, we know the source of that is Jesus Christ himself. So that's what it kind of gets down to with these things.
Yeah, there's no question here that they're doing something. And that's what we humans get caught up in. Well, they're doing things. They're healing people. They're prophesying. They're doing all this stuff. And Jesus says, pay no attention to that stuff. Pay attention to what's in their hearts and where that's coming from, just like you said, Bob. So, yeah, this is a major warning for all of us. And doesn't have to cause fear, but you've got to take it for what it means.
Right, and I was, you know, I see how that could easily lead to fear. It seems to leave me with a thought that there really are few who find it.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah, and these aren't people who, you know, are Christians and then somehow went off the rails. He says, I never knew you. So keep that in mind, that if you know the Lord and he lives in you and you know him and he knows you, then you have a relationship that these people never had. So, you know, there's witch doctors dancing around a fire somewhere doing some so-called miracles. And there's people who, you know, my wife's grandfather sat and secretly watched a rehearsal for a healing service where, you know, you come up this ramp with your wheelchair and then I'll pull you out and then you come down the middle aisle and I'll heal you. And there was a rehearsal. So, I mean, you know, sometimes there's just fabricated shows and they're not the real thing. But Christ can heal. I mean, you know, I've got some knee trouble, let's say. Now, Christ, miraculously tomorrow, he heals my knees. Well, I'd say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. and I'd keep on living with my focus on Christ. And I wouldn't run around saying, look at my knees, for days and weeks and months on end, because we go back to what is the biggest deal. The biggest deal is that Jesus Christ lives in us, and that is the biggest miracle of all.
Well, Craig, right, thanks for your call today. We sure appreciate it. Great, great conversation.
Yes, indeed. Thanks, Craig. We have open lines, plenty of them, and plenty of time, friends. If you have a question for Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, Andrew Farley on this edition of Basic Gospel, give us a call right now, 844-322-2742. Again, 844-322-2742.
Andrew, you said something I think is very important there. We want to get to the big deals. Mm-hmm. And actually, that's the significance of the name of this program, Basic Gospel. Basic doesn't mean elementary. Basic means those things that are of most importance. And so when Paul passed on the gospel message to the Corinthians, for example, he said, I'm going to pass on to you what I received, those things that are of most importance. And the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ is what is of most importance, and how that applies to our lives on a day-to-day basis. Mm-hmm. And that's why we call this program Basic Gospel, because we want to connect people to God's priorities for their lives, not what the world says, not what they say, but what God has in mind for them. And that's a walk of faith in Christ Jesus. That's simply believing that Jesus took away their sins once and for all, simply believing that Jesus is alive, living in them today, simply believing that as they walk by faith, they're going to manifest the fruits of the Spirit in their lives.
Yes, indeed. Well, hey, guys, you know we speak almost daily about the need for our listeners to stand with us in support of the broadcast and streaming of this program that's helping people and clarifying the issues of daily living in relation to God's Word. And many of you have done that and been with us, but we still have a long way to go, a lot to do. So, Bob, Richard, Andrew, for new listeners who are benefiting from what they're hearing and learning through Basic Gospel, how can they get involved? How can they help us get the Word out to get others who need to hear?
Well, one of the easiest ways is just stand with us in prayer. They can pray for this ministry, pray for the listeners, pray for those who are calling in that, God's Spirit will meet them at their point of need and give them truth that will set them free. They can also give financially, be a part of the financial team of Basic Gospel, and that is a ministry in and of itself. It's incredible how God uses those dollars to spread the message, to get it to people that they would never know, but yet God knows. Yeah. And so he takes those dollars and uses those in other people's lives. So a great investment in the lives of others, and then the power of the gospel to bring change to people all over the world. So those are two specific ways.
Yeah, I wanted to say something here. You know, I joined the team once a week, and I've known this ministry for 2 decades now. And, you know, I know that a lot of people listening right now, you listen to Christian radio every single day. There are dozens and dozens of programs across the United States and beyond that you can choose from. But I really believe that, you know, for the last 2 decades, it's been possible to simply count on one hand the number of programs that truly highlight the gospel in all of its fullness and the grace of God in its totality. And Basic Gospel is one of those programs. It truly is unique, and that's why I choose to serve on the board and support and join this broadcast once each week. And so, you know, even though there's a lot of programming out there, we really are in a place, I believe, of pointing people to Christ. And maybe you've been listening long enough to hear people coming to receive Christ. I mean, you know, the times that I'm a guest and part of the team, weekly, I watch and listen as people come to Christ on this program. And that in and of itself is a very rare thing on Christian radio. Yeah. It shouldn't be, but it is. And so it's a unique opportunity for you to move from being a listener to an active participant. And I just want to encourage you to consider that. If you'll go to basicgospel.net and just consider partnering with us, this really is a unique message, a unique program, and I'm just honored to be a part of it.
Thank you, Andrew. And, of course, friends, you can click donate on any page at basicgospel.net, or you can call and speak with our operator at 844-412-2742. Again, 844-412-2742. We would love for you to partner with us in this ministry called Basic Gospel.
Well, thanks, guys. Let's go to Staten Island, New York, and talk to Robert listening to us on WMCA. Robert, welcome to Basic Gospel.
Hi, thank you for having me. Good afternoon, and thank you for all the work you do.
Well, thank you, Robert.
Quick question. I've gone to several ministries, and it's always been curious to me because I've read in the Bible, and from what I understand, when Jesus or God gave the ability for the apostles to speak in different tongues, my interpretation was that they were able to speak different languages and communicate that to the people of the world. And I've been to other ministries where people profess that they speak in tongues. To me, it's not understandable. But I don't know exactly how to deal with that personally, because it's a totally different understanding than I have from what I thought being taught biblically, that the apostles were actually learning languages to able to communicate the word of God, and as opposed to just, I don't want to say babbling, I believe the people really believe that, or want to believe that they are speaking in tongues, and it's something from the Holy Spirit. But I just have a problem with that. I wanted to know what your position was on it.
Robert, excellent question, and I think you're spot on.
Yes.
For the most part, when we see the gift of tongues in the New Testament, it really is an evangelistic gift, isn't it?
Yeah.
So
I thought so, and that was my interpretation from when since I was a little boy and read and heard about it. It was God's gift to the apostles to be able to spread the word of God in the languages that people could understand.
Yeah. You know, guys, we've had this question, for years on the table. What is the gift of tongues? Does it apply today? Does it not apply today? What does it mean? And normally there's always a question underneath that. And usually that question gets to the security of the believer, assurance of salvation. So in many instances, I'm not saying this is across the board, but in my experience, why people hang on to that gift or hang on to that experience is because it gives them a sense of assurance that God is still with them. If they ever lose that, then they start becoming fearful that God has left them. So I find it to be an assurance of salvation issue many times that people are really struggling with. And once that can be corrected, then the question about tongues just kind of goes away. Andrew, have you seen that in your experience?
Yeah, I think it comes from the simple teaching that, hey, I have this gift of tongues, and this is the mark of a true believer, someone might say. And so then the audience begins to think, well, then maybe I'm not a true believer if I don't have this gift. And so then the enemy can use that to work in their lives all kinds of doubt and questions and concerns over their security, as you said, Bob. And I think, it goes back to what are we really talking about? And as we've discussed briefly, I mean, Acts chapter 2, verse 6 says that they heard the gospel in their own language. Acts chapter 2 verse 8 says it was the language to which we were born. So these are born, so to speak, earthly languages. And correct. And really, I think the clincher for me, guys, is when I go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and I look at Paul's discussion of tongues, his conclusion it is in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 15. He says, what am I to do? This is like his grand finale to it all. He says, what am I to do? I will pray with my spirit, but I will pray with my mind also. I will sing praise with my spirit, but I will sing with my mind also. So his conclusion is, let's make sure our minds are engaged. Otherwise, nobody's going to benefit from this, and nobody's going to be able to say amen. So folks who are out there doing anything without their mind engaged, You know, that practice is questionable in and of itself. Eastern mysticism would say, you know, go with the mindless approach. Get your mind out of the way. Just let the spirit take over and be mindless. Well, Paul is saying the opposite. He's saying that God works through our minds. We are going to sing and we're going to pray with our minds, and we don't want to be checking our brains at the door. That's a dangerous business.
Well, it gets right back to the verse we talked about at the beginning, the renewing of our minds.
Yes.
We're transformed by the renewing of our minds. So, great point, Andrew.
Well, I really appreciate your answer. I want to share one thing that I like to share with everyone. I mean, one of the things that works for me personally is that I don't clear my mind, but I actually say my Our Fathers until I get to a point where I'm just relaxed and open up for the hearing, to listen. And afterwards, I read a little verse of the Bible. But that little time out, some people, I guess Eastern-wise, may call it meditation. So, we as Christians may be just being open to God's Word. And it's always helped me, and I just want to share that.
Well, thanks, Robert. Thanks for your call today. We certainly appreciate it.
Absolutely. Question, guys, from Wendy from Eugene, Oregon, about our relationship with God. She says, I've done a Google search for the question, what do I do when I've blown it big time with God? All of the websites give answers to this question, and they tell me what I should do when this happens. All of the answers basically use Psalm 51 as the remedy for what to do when we blow it. I ask this question because our relationship with God is so critical. I don't want anything to damage that relationship or cause division. What do you say on this? How do I get back with a right relationship with God when I've blown it big time?
You know, it's interesting. We always ask, what am I supposed to do when I sin? Why don't we ever ask the question, well, what does God do when we sin? I think that's more important, don't you guys?
We're afraid of the answer.
Yeah.
That's why we don't ask.
But God does something. I mean, he reassures us. He points us to the blood of his son and say, listen, your sins are forgiven. They're already taken care of. His spirit reassures us that we truly belong to him. There's things that God does on our behalf to pick us back up and start moving us down the right path again. And so he uses all those mess ups to teach us to say no to sin, you know, as more temptations come our way. But our focus needs to be back on Christ. It doesn't need to be on us and what we're supposed to be doing. I think when we get our minds on Christ, we'll figure out what we're supposed to do. That's one of the chapters in the book Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, seven things that God does when we sin. And I think it's important for us to understand that.
You go back to Psalm 51, Wendy, and you say, okay, I'm going to look at these first 10 verses. Blot out my transgressions. That's verse 1. Well, what did Jesus do on the cross? He took them away. Wash me, verse 2. Well, what did Jesus do? He washed you and cleansed you by his blood. Then you go up and you see verse 7, purify me, wash me. Verse 10, create in me a clean heart. Well, what in the world did the gospel accomplish? By the gospel, through the gospel, Jesus Christ gave us a new heart and a new spirit, and he put his spirit within us, and he forgave us of all of our sins, taking them away forever as far as the east is from the west. So what was a law-based relationship back in Psalm 51 is certainly not our relationship today. We're under a new covenant, a superior covenant, and we have way more to celebrate in Jesus Christ.
Absolutely. Wendy, hope you're listening. Hope that's a help to you. And friends, please remember Basic Gospel in your giving. Your prayers and gifts keep the love of Jesus Christ on the airwaves and online. Come on and join us, friends. Get involved. You can help us get the word out by clicking donate on any page at basicgospel.net or speak with our operator at 844-412-2742. Remember, a gift of $15 or more will get a copy of Bob Christopher's brand new book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, on its way to you. Again, click donate at basicgospel.net or speak with our operator at 844-412-2742. By the way, for additional copies of Bob's book, visit our online book site. That's SimpleGospelSimplyGrace.com. SimpleGospelSimplyGrace.com. And if you like what you hear on Basic Gospel, be sure to download our app. It's available now in the Apple App Store. We also invite you to go to basicgospel.net and join our email list for late news and information about all everything happening in the ministry. Well, thanks for joining us, everybody. Now for Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, Andrew Farley, and the ministry team, Bob Davis inviting you to be with us again tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel, and we'll see you then. Bye-bye.